When the apostles asked Jesus whether he was going to restore Israel at that time, the Lord responded that it was not for them to know. It was for them, however, to receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it was for them to be witnesses, his witnesses, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, indeed to the ends of the earth. When Ananias asked the Lord about it being a really good idea to visit Saul, after all, he had been breathing murderous threats. When Ananias asked the Lord about Saul, the Lord responded, it was for him. It would be for Saul to be the chosen instrument to carry his name to the Gentiles, to the nations, to the world, and it would be for him to learn to suffer for the sake of that precious name. The apostles asked their question in the first several weeks of Easter. Ananias asked his question in the first several hundred weeks of Easter. And during the ensuing weeks of Easter, Paul was indeed a chosen instrument of the Lord, carrying the name of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. But where he went, he also learned to suffer. Where he went, he met opposition. He aroused hatred. In Damascus, he had to go down a hole in the wall. In Jerusalem, he was hustled out of town. He was expelled from Antioch. There was a conspiracy against him in Iconium. He was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. He was imprisoned in Philippi. Paul was chosen instrument to carry the name of the Lord to the Gentiles, to the nations, to the world. But where he went, where this name was proclaimed, where the gospel was preached, there was both faith and there was unbelief. There was joy and there was hatred. There was reception and there was opposition. And so it goes about 1,000 weeks after Easter, and so it goes when Paul enters Macedonia. As was his custom, he and Silas, they go to the synagogue, and they preach, and they reason, and they explain, and they persuade from the scriptures that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again, and that Jesus of Nazareth, he was the Christ. And as before, some believed. Some of the Jews, many of the God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. And as before, there was opposition and there was hatred. As before, Paul was on the run. And so he goes to Berea. And he follows his ordinary way, his ordinary MO, and goes to a synagogue and reasons, and proclaims, and explains, and persuades from the scriptures that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again, and that Jesus of Nazareth, he was the Christ. And many believed, both Jew and Greek. But again, there was opposition, and there was hatred. And Paul again turns and goes on the road and goes on the run. That, like I said, is about the 1,000th week of Easter. Now it's the 100,000th week of Easter. Now we've reached 6 digits. Some things are the same. The Word of God continues to be preached. Jesus is proclaimed as the Christ, as the one who had to suffer, to die, and to rise again. And there is faith, and there is joy, and there is reception. At the same time, there remains opposition, and there remains hatred. But some things have changed. Now that we've passed 100,000 mark, well, no, way before that, we stopped counting. We give up at 7 and we start over every year. But other things have changed as well. Things about us, things about our view, about the gospel, about preaching it, about proclaiming Jesus as Christ and as Lord. It's a big concern today, isn't it, for us, for our churches. It's a big concern today that the world perceives us as dull, as irrelevant, as out of touch. But what's our response? Well, one set of responses is this: to be exciting and sparkling, to be relevant, to be sensitive. And another set of responses goes like this: we need to supply theological reasons why it's all right to be dull, irrelevant, and out of touch. But what seems to have been lost, what seems to be in danger of falling away, is the sense that in proclaiming the gospel, in preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that not only is there going to be faith and joy and reception, but that there will be opposition and hatred. What seems to be lost, what seems to be in danger of disappearing, is the sense that in carrying out the mission, in bringing the gospel to people, in proclaiming it in the world, that the church should be challenged, that the church might well be threat. What is wrong? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our faith and our faithfulness when what we are is dull, irrelevant, and out of touch? It is precisely at this point that this text, that this story, that this word questions us. Because to read it and to hear it and to reflect on it is to be questioned by God. Do we understand? Have we heard? Do we believe? And where we think that it's a problem to be dull, but that the answer is to be exciting, that where we think it's a problem to be irrelevant, but the answer is to be relevant, where we think that it is a problem to be out of touch, but that the answer then is to become sensitive and in touch. Or where we think, well, that's all right, then this text, this story, this word from God questions us. Because it shows that we have not heard and that we are not believing. But what is there that we can do? There is nothing except to hear also the message in the text. And that is the message of Paul, of the Christ, the Son of God for us men, for us unfaithful, unhearing, uncomprehending human creatures, for us and for our salvation became man. For us, He lived. For us, He died. And He too rose again. That we, though we die, will rise again. That God not hold our sin, our faithlessness, our inability to hear and to understand against us, but to turn in grace towards us, in turn in love towards us, to be for us one who still invites and calls us by name and gives us His name. It's 100,000 weeks after Easter. But these are also the weeks of Easter. the weeks of new life, the weeks of the gospel. May God grant us his Holy Spirit, that we hear his word in its law, in its good news, in its threat, and especially in its promise. And with that promise in our hearts and on our lips, may we be for the world a true witness to God's love in Jesus Christ. Unafraid of the consequences, joyful at the prospects, looking forward with longing for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.